The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. If you missed the first hour, you missed a lot. So you should go back to our website at wethepeopleradio.us and listen to that. This afternoon, we will have a commercial-free archive up for you. And let's see, our show airs Sundays live from noon to 2. We have a chat room open during that that time period online. And
on the West Coast.
On the West Coast, that's right. Got to point that out. And then on the East Coast, we have shifted to Saturday afternoons from 2:30 to 4. They're airing the program commercial-free, so they can fit it in an hour and a half. They had a little programming change during the week, so they moved us to Saturdays. And that is on WNJC 1360 with the Conservative Commandos Radio
Network. Okay, so we're not on Mondays anymore?
We're not on Mondays anymore.
Okay.
I know. We keep shifting. Well, if he finds a program that's Monday through mm-hmm. Friday, then he kind of moves us around because we're just one day a week. So anyway, we've had a little shifting and changing, but you can always find us here on the website. And, you know, we always have good information for you, so you don't have to take notes during the show. Although last show, you probably needed to take notes. I thought that was pretty good.
So
last
Saturday,
hour.
2:30 to 4 Eastern time?
Check.
Okay.
Philadelphia, New Jersey.
11:30 to 1
here.
Pacific time, if
right.
you care to listen.
We're between the pencils and the shot glass, but not the Cupid doll. I'm something
That's
wrong
Bill
with
filling
me.
In as the jerk. for all those people who don't get the movie reference, you might be too young. That would be a shame for you.
Yeah.
All right. So now we've had our – that was
you
like
gotta
the –
know your Shinola.
That was like the ginger in the Japanese food there. Now we're moving on. A different topic. We've switched from transgender regret to First Amendment victory. Dun-da-da-da-da-da. With Mario Lopez, who is not the Mario Lopez of what?
Was it Entertainment Tonight or one of those
Mario,
shows like that?
Mario, where are you doubling?
Well, my alter ego apparently was on Saved by the Bell and now is on Entertainment Tonight or something like that.
Well, that's awesome. I hope they screw up and give you the residuals. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah,
I'm waiting for that.
Still waiting for that check, right?
You just hold your breath. So I've got a little blurb here on you. It's kind of long, actually. I will not read it all because I'll let you give us the fun part. But you are the president of the Hispanic Leadership Fund, an advocacy organization dedicated to promoting limited government, individual liberty, and free enterprise. Well, imagine that. Sort of
all
sounds like we're on the same page. And then I also was reading down here, prior to founding the Hispanic Leadership Fund, you were in the House of Representatives as executive director of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus, or conference.
Conference, correct.
Conference. Actually, I read that wrong. It sounded like you were trapped in the U.S. House of Representatives. I had to do a double take. I'm like, what? They're not allowed to do that. So tell us about give us a little on your background. But we want to get to this this case because this is a good one. And obviously, they're so busy covering, you know, the circus, the presidential circus. Nobody will ever hear about this victory, it seems.
It's gotten a decent amount of attention, I'd say, considering, you know,
yeah,
as you mentioned,
the circus.
The presidential race is an ongoing, well, circus is a good word.
Yes, well, circus.
Well, they made a show about it. There's a show called The Circus, and they have somebody who follows each of the campaigns, and they give a weekly update. It's on, like, I don't know, Showtime or something. I saw it once.
Yeah.
And it did kind of look like a circus. It was aptly named.
Yep.
So tell us about you. What's your background?
Sure. Well, I've been in Washington, D.C. a number of years involved in the political and public policy process, originally from California. And like a lot of folks, sort of fled that state due to the...
Oh, thanks. We're trapped here.
The deteriorating nature of the policies and the effects therein. But I've been for a long time. The Hispanic Leadership Fund is, as you mentioned, an African organization that's national, based in the nation's capital. And we're interested in promoting public policy that supports liberty, opportunity, and prosperity, as you mentioned. And one of the things that we've been heavily involved in and monitoring over the last few years are First Amendment rights. Everyone's familiar, I think, to some degree with the fact that those First Amendment rights seem to be eroding in the last few years. Several instances, one sort of overarching theme has been the IRS and their targeting of organizations that the Obama administration and their allies have deemed, wrong on certain issues. And they've decided to use the power of government to go after these folks with whom they disagree. And this has been a rather unfortunate, sad trend that's been happening. The case that most recently, brought me to your attention is the free speech case out in California, again, with an organization with whom we're familiar with, Americans for Prosperity Foundation, battling the attorney general out there. What she wanted to do is she wanted to get her hands on the membership and donor list of that organization, and her supposed reasoning was to help, in her role as AG, to help prevent fraud, quote unquote.
Send thank you cards.
She was going to send them all thank you cards. Yeah, good thinking.
Exactly. And so we know the real reason is because this has happened in the past, and it's already happened to donors of organizations like AFP and other. There's been intimidation, harassment, threats. Their names and addresses, home addresses in a lot of cases, business addresses have been made public, and people show up to their home, to their place of business, and basically intimidate them and harass them and, do all sorts of untawdry things, in order to basically because of their political views. That's something that we don't think falls within the proper scope of the role of government. And so we battled this on a number of fronts, and we were very happy to see that, the federal court cited against Attorney General Kamala Harris, in recent days, and, are excited to have that First Amendment victory.
Yeah. And that was a huge victory. And considering it was California, probably a big surprise as well.
Well, it was a federal court, so, that's not necessarily always better. But you're right. I mean, had it been a California state court, it may have been a little bit different. This is really a very critical decision for folks out there. And I want to be very clear because, I've debated folks on the radio and TV and elsewhere, friends on the left side of the political spectrum that want to, paint this in a different light. And I just want to be clear for folks, for anybody on the record, that this is about protecting everyone's First Amendment rights. Whether you're on the left, on the right, Republican, Democrat, up, down, if your views are popular, if your views are unpopular, it doesn't matter. That's why we have a First Amendment, is to protect the free association and free speech rights of every single American. I think that that's an important thing because, we're losing something very fundamental, I think, in this country. It used to be, a lot of people could agree on the fact that, the old saying, I disagree with what you say, but I'll defend to my death your right to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is going
away. We've lost
that
a little bit, yeah.
Right. And that's unfortunate because we can have debates, we can have policy debates. Our friends on the left say, well, we want high taxes, we want low taxes. Okay, fine, we can debate that. We want this policy, they want that policy. Great. Let's have a vigorous, passionate debate on the issues. But one thing that we should not be doing is, when one party's in office, to use the power and the leverage of government to go after political enemies simply because they have different views than the folks who happen to be in power at that particular moment. That's not something that we should try to replicate. That's more of a hallmark, I think, of third world dictatorships than it is of our democracy. And that's something that I hope that folks on there, out there can agree with, regardless of what side of the spectrum they're on politically.
Yeah, and I can hear the left in the back of my mind screaming, money isn't speech, money isn't speech.
Well, I mean, we can leave that point aside for the moment, but honestly, didn't even have to do with the money is speech angle, because what they were trying to do is again, just go after this donor information. And we've seen, particularly in California, I mean, I mentioned at the federal level, the IRS, but particularly in California, back when the gay marriage debate, Proposition 8, statewide, initiative was happening there. I mean, folks were intimidated. Folks were harassed. There were death threats. There were death threats from the AFP Foundation of people involved with them in this particular case. And that's, you know, whether or not we want to talk about the role of money and free speech and what exactly that means. I mean, those are clearly, when you have intimidation and death threats, those are clearly lines that we should not be getting near. And I hope that line is never crossed, because that would be really, really awful, again, regardless of who would be the victim.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't seem to always translate well there, though. We need to take a really quick break here, and then we'll come right back. The case, what is the name of the case, Mario? I can't seem to find it on my note here.
It's Americans for Prosperity Foundation versus Kamala Harris.
Versus Kamala, okay, so it was versus her. And she is running for office, so for all the people who think that she's off base, she's a gun hater and obviously a First Amendment suppressor, and she's probably going to wind up holding a really big office here shortly, because... seems to be the
That's what we do in California.
Seems to be the way we do it.
Yeah.
It's a good place to be from, ain't it, Mario?
Well, I mean, there are a lot of things I love about being from there, but, you know, the
mostly just being from, though, you're excited about that. It's the from part. Oh, my gosh. We will be right back. You are listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Give a damn's busted. And if it's real, well, I don't want to know. Don't make notes what you said. So please stop explaining. Don't tell me cause it hurts. Don't think I know what you're thinking. I don't need to.
Kamala Harris theme song there. I don't know what you're saying, but stop saying it. The only thing better than her being the Attorney General of California is that she's running for the state Senate seat being vacated by Barbara Boxer. Super sad. All right, Mario, how long has this case been going?
Several months, and it was finally decided a few short days ago, I think just over a week or something like that.
So this hasn't dragged out for 8,000 years? Like a lot?
No, surprisingly not. The arguments were in, I believe, February.
Wow.
February. And, it was pretty clear for folks who were looking at this case. I saw some of the transcripts and was... told a little bit about how the questioning went, and it was pretty clear that the judge had some very strong questions for Kamala Harris, questions that, frankly, they couldn't answer. For example, if you were promising confidentiality on this information, how did it become the case that 1,700 times you published supposedly confidential information on the Attorney General website.
That was an accident.
That was 1,700 accidents?
That was an accident.
Yeah.
Wow, even puppies
once,
don't have that many accidents.
Not a dozen times. 1,700 or so.
I'm new.
I'm new. If you had a dog that did that, he would have been given away a long time ago.
Not where I come from.
Yeah, that's not... Oh. No rehoming?
No.
You can't make this stuff up.
No, but we can make fun of it. And that's really where we shine. Unbelievable. So what was their excuse at the very beginning? Like, what started this whole thing? And was Americans for Prosperity the only group they felt like they needed extensive information on? Or was it a bunch of them?
Well, I mean, in her crosshairs are a bunch of organizations that she disagrees with. But, you know, Americans for Prosperity Foundation is a particular appealing target for them because Charles and David Koch are among the group's founders. And so, you know, for our friends on the left, that's a...
You can't hate a giant target. Yeah, you can't hate on them enough.
Right, exactly. And so I think that they chose that for the, you know, sort of the political PR value. And then if they were able, you know, to win that case, and they're going to appeal, by the way, at least that's what they said. We'll see how it goes. But, you know, that would, of course, just be the start. I mean, they would want to target, you know, every group that they have political disagreements with. And I guarantee you that, you know, none of the leftist organizations, no labor unions, you know, nobody like that, Common Cause, People for the American Way, you know, they weren't going to be targeted. I can guarantee you that.
And so a lot of times I know that they will try to pretend like they're being fair. She didn't even pretend. Didn't snap up one of the other guys.
Yeah, I mean, her excuse was, well, we need this to help protect, you know, prevent fraud and, you know, donors from California to try to protect them. And, I mean, it was thinly veiled, poorly argued, and, you know, thankfully the judge saw right through that. But yeah, they tried to offer some sort of minimal excuses. But, you know, if you listen to not just Kamala Harris, but unfortunately President Obama, you know, Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, you know, a lot of folks like that, I mean, they're very clear that, you know, they hate organizations that espouse views that are run contradictory to, you know, what their socialist vision is for America, and they want to silence those folks. They want to use the power of government to go after their political enemies.
and it's not going to probably get any better anytime soon. So how does your organization figure? Well, I don't know. Could get better.
On a federal level, I think it's going to get.
You never know.
It's going to get trimmed.
How did you guys get involved in this with the Hispanic Leadership Fund?
Sure. Well, we've been a strong advocate for First Amendment rights from our inception. We've been involved in actually a couple different court cases. One at the state level in New York, fairly strong election law case up in New York a couple years ago, and also at the federal level, we were involved in when Chris Van Hollen, who is a member of Congress from Maryland, and at the time he was chairman of one of the Democrat campaign committees, they tried to pass, when the Democrats were in control of the House, they tried to pass what's called the Disclose Act to try to, you know, get to some of the same, these same points that Kamala Harris is trying to make. They tried to do that legislatively twice. Twice they failed to have this pass into law in Congress. And then the Supreme Court also struck down some very similar, limitations. And so, what they couldn't do legislatively and what the Supreme Court had knocked down, he went and decided that he wanted to try to sue the Federal Election Commission to try to force them to unilaterally change their rules to get what he wanted. And, you know, we saw this for what it was. And filed a motion to intervene, which the, in the case, which is, I'm not a lawyer, but essentially you sort of step in as a defendant, even though you're not directly named in the lawsuit. So we filed this motion to intervene. The court accepted it. And, you know, we, our interest is, we know that among the folks that they're going to target are minority organizations, that espouse different views that they do, because that is one of the biggest threats to their political power that they see. When you have a Hispanic, African American, or Asian organization that has views that defend liberty, prosperity, free markets, that is a huge threat.
Blows their whole narrative.
It's a big lobby, and they don't need that kind of talk going on.
You guys are supposed to be liberal, and you just didn't. You just didn't get the memo.
That's right. That's right. Well, I got the memo, but I tore it to shreds. I mean, we saw this, and we saw the writing on the wall, and said, you know what? In addition to, you know, the Charles and David Koch and, you know, that kind of stuff, I mean, very high on their list of targets are, again, minority organizations that have different political views than they do. And so we said, you know, we're going to grab this bull by the horns. We're going to step in. We're going to file this motion to intervene. We're going to defend this case. And we did successfully twice in federal court. Most recently in January, there was a substantial victory for our side in federal court. And so, you know, we've taken a strong interest in this. We will continue to do so. And we congratulate Americans for Prosperity Foundation and their recent victory. And we want to make sure that we do everything we can to call attention to these efforts. Because again, it's just so far out of bounds, that I think even folks who may disagree with us on, you know, whether it's taxes or energy or labor policy or anything else, hopefully the majority of those folks can at least see, that we should not be suppressing freedom of speech for people who we disagree with. That's just far, far out of bounds.
Sure. And I guess there are a lot of people, however, who cannot seem to make the connection between belonging to, donating to an organization and that being free speech. You know, if it's not literally words coming out of your mouth, it's not considered free speech. And I'm sure you've had to debate those people more than once.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really kind of bizarre because, I mean, you know, imagine if you said you have freedom of the press, but if you spend money on your right to exercising your right to freedom of the press, then you no longer have that right. I mean, it's just so weird.
If you sell the newspaper, it's not freedom of the press anymore.
Right. I mean, it's a bizarre thing. And I think just some folks are just can't get their heads around the fact that, you know, some people aren't going to see the world the way you do. And again, that's why we have the political process. That's why we have, you know, the sort of the representative government that we're supposed to have, is so that we can hash out these debates.
Sure.
And have this, you know, exercise through the democratic process, but not through using the power of government as a hammer to hit your political opponents over the head with. That's just something that we see in third world dictatorships and banana republics. I mean, that's not something that we should ever want here, again, regardless of which side of the fence you're on.
Yeah, when you debate these folks and you talk about that, is there any recognition that this could go the wrong way for them later?
You know, I've brought that up time and again, and they don't quite seem to get it. And, I mean, sometimes they do, but they kind of, you know, oh, well, I don't think that would happen, or you know, they just sort of excuse it away. But I think that that's a very strong point that I've tried to say to them, is that, look, you know, we have to think about these things from a neutral perspective. We have to think about these things is what happens. Okay, today, you know, President Obama's in power and he commands the IRS to go after conservative organizations. But what happens tomorrow when someone else is in power? Can he do the same thing? I mean, should he be going out to he or she or whoever, go, you know, be going after groups that they have political disagreements with? again, with the power of government. I mean, it's one thing to say, listen, these guys are wrong, their policies are terrible, their ideas stink. I mean, whatever, you know, you
yeah.
want to say.
Yeah, that's yeah you drop flyers that's out of an airplane, take an ad out of the paper, you know.
Sure, exactly. But to use the power of government is just a whole new level that's just beyond the pale, frankly. Yeah. And that's something that I think on an individual level, some of my friends on the left who I've debated, you know, they kind of get that. But when it comes to, you know, debates in public on radio or TV or something, they always, it makes them kind of squirm, but they refuse to somehow acknowledge that that's a possibility.
Oh, it just couldn't happen? This instance, it's okay, but it'll never happen again to them?
Yeah, I mean, it's,
oh, well, okay.
It's really
well,
bizarre.
How do you,
bizarre.
Yeah, how do you respond to that? You're like, okay, I have to go now.
Right.
I have a personal policy. I don't debate crazy people.
I have a list to make up here.
Yeah, I mean, they just change the topic back to the old, you know, the money, politics, and corporations, and this and that, you know. I mean, they love to hate on corporations, but labor unions, you know, that's okay.
They're magical,
you know,
yeah.
Labor unions who steal money many times unwillingly from, you know, workers who might not want to be part of that labor union, you know, stealing their money and using that in the political process, that's okay. But people who voluntarily give to an organization like ours or like AFP or, you know, any number of other organizations,
that's wrong.
No, that's evil.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, how do you have it? How long are these debates? Like 5 minutes? Pretty quick, kind of in and out. I can't imagine having to
show and you know and all that. But
Well, that's nutty. I can't. It's funny that you'd even have to sue anybody over this. Ridiculous. We need to take a really quick break. Hey, when we come back, we don't know a lot about your organization, and I think you wind up being kind of an unsung hero a little bit. So before we get off the air, we want to make sure we plug you guys and get all your good contact information and stuff. We noticed your Facebook page is a little bit old. Maybe you'll have better contact for us. We've got people trying to look you up and they can't find you. We'll be right back. Talking to Mario Lopez from... Oh, sorry. The words are starting on the song. Gotta go.
All the good things have been taken. But girl, there are ways to make certain things pay. Though I'm dressed in these rags, I'll wear sable someday. Hear what I say. I'm gonna ride this serpent. No more time spent sweating rats.
I didn't remember saying shut up now, but that's good. Bob, Bob, Bob. Alrighty, we're here with Mario Lopez. He's the president of the Hispanic Leadership Fund. They're an advocacy organization dedicated to promoting limited government, individual liberty, and free enterprise. Super fun. And they helped beat Kamala Harris on a, I don't know, suppression of speech case, a free speech case.
And by the way, the show The Other Mario Lopez is on is Extra.
Oh.
Not Entertainment Tonight.
Oh, so Mario, unless the checks come from Extra, don't cash them. They're fake.
I'll cash any check. It doesn't matter where it comes from.
I'm telling Kamala Harris.
It's got my name on it. I'm cashing it.
There you go.
So what other fun stuff do you guys do?
Sure. Well, we're involved. You mentioned the basic principles that we defend, and we want to do a couple things. We want to communicate how those principles and how public policy and laws based on those principles are beneficial for all Americans. Obviously, we have a particular interest in communicating that to Latinos and Hispanics across the country, whether it's in states like California, Texas, or Florida, or other states where the population is growing, like North Carolina, Ohio, for example, and other states. So we're involved in political process at the federal level and in those and other states that I mentioned. And we also want to make sure that we're reaching policymakers, legislators, members of Congress to educate them as to how they can reach those constituencies and also, encourage them to take their message, folks who we agree with, obviously, to take their message to those communities because, the demographics of the country are changing, and we want to make sure that we keep the American dream alive for anyone who wants to avail themselves of that opportunity. And we think that it's really important to communicate these principles to Americans of all backgrounds.
Well, see, it's funny because if you watch the news, it looks like... I mean, if I just told people that I was having someone on the air from the Hispanic Leadership Fund, they would figure you were a wholly owned subsidiary of the left. Because that's what we're all led to believe, that there are no conservative folks, that like your organization just couldn't possibly be real.
Right, right. Well, I mean, we are. I can assure you that.
I know. It's exciting.
We love having those debates with folks. And I've been in front of audiences, a lot of different audiences at the community level, sometimes the initial response is a bit of skepticism. But once we start getting into, the real substance of debates, whether it's parental choice for schools or low taxes or policies, what can really help jumpstart the economy, in terms of helping small businesses, for example, which we know are still the engine of economic growth for our great country. I mean, small businesses create the majority of new jobs by a long shot, actually. And Hispanics, it just so happens, start small businesses at a rate three times that of the general population.
Oh, wow.
Any issue from an economic perspective that impacts small business, which is to say pretty much all of them, those are all tremendous opportunities to educate folks and to, sort of show them what works and what doesn't work. And at the end of the day, I think that that's what we really have going for us, is the fact that free market policies work and socialist policies fail. And that's a truth that you can see in any number of countries, in any number of instances, and that's something that I think is very powerful. And so usually by the end of the talk, you have a lot of people nodding their head and kind of saying, okay, I see that. But the issue, unfortunately, for our side has been, that a lot of times people just don't get this message. They just haven't had anyone explain things to them and walk them through this, and to the extent that they've had folks address them about politics and policy, it usually is someone from the left.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this tremendous need and thirst, I think, for information and for truth out there. We try to give them a little bit of that, and I think that we're successful, and I love doing it. So it's a great, great battle to be a part of.
That's awesome, because out here in California, I mean, the demographic has obviously shifted a lot. I don't know where the biggest shift is in the country, because I happen to live here, so we follow this pretty, daily. What what advice would you give California to get with the program? Because we're losing it.
Right. Well, I think that the big thing, again, is just engaging folks. And, you know, it's nice to have, to just kind of address an audience with someone who looks a little like them. I mean, I think that that's, can never really hurt. But at the same time, you know, I encourage, you know, folks who agree with me politically to not let it stop them if it's, you know, if just because the audience might look a little bit different or something. Because the principles that we believe in are universal. Liberty, prosperity, opportunity, you know, the things enshrined in the Constitution, those things are universal truths. And the founders spelled that out very, very clearly, I think, and gave us a great set of talking points to use in the Constitution and the defense of the Constitution that they laid out, you know, so many years ago. And so I'd say that, you know, you have to engage, you have to show up, be willing to defend your principles. I really admire politically Jack Kemp, one of my heroes from back in the day, and I'll date myself, you know, a little bit, but I remember, you know, growing up reading a little bit about him, and then as I got older and more involved politically, reading more. And I love the fact that he was someone who was willing to stand on any street corner in this country, in any neighborhood, and explain why free market principles were better for people in that neighborhood, for them and their families, and demonstrate to people how that was the case, and to speak truth to them. And that's something I think that we need more of, because once people, when we have those committed messengers, and once people understand and really get that, I think there's a lot of power there, because the other side only offers division. They only offer government dependency. You know, vote for us and we'll take care of you. I mean, that's the socialist way. And that's something that I think, you know, once you sort of rattle the cage a little bit and get people to kind of to see where you're coming from and are willing to explain it to them and to not just stop, you know, after a couple seconds or if you get a tough question, then you will see results. And we have seen that in candidates who have been willing to do that in a number of races. Most famously, President George W. Bush, who, you know, whether one agrees or disagrees, I mean, he showed up in those neighborhoods. He was committed. He didn't stop after just one or two times. He kept at it, and it yielded tremendous results for him in both of his elections.
Yeah, I didn't really remember that, but yeah, you're right. And we do need to, we've got to do that again, because it's getting really...
He won 44% of the Hispanic vote nationally in his reelection bid in 2004.
No kidding.
44%. And so here's the other part of this, is that not only is it desirable and a nice and great thing to do, but politically, frankly, it's necessary, because,
yeah,
you know, you just can't win the White House without having a certain number of the Hispanic vote. And if you're going to do what Mitt Romney did, which is fall all the way to 25%, that's just not good enough. And it just doesn't add up mathematically to 270 electoral votes, which is what you need. So again, it's just, you know, it's not just a nice thing to do politically. We have to do this for folks who believe in the political values that we share.
Sure. Yeah, we have to make it, we have to make it, meaningful for more people. And I think really I think you're right. Once you explain it to people, I think they see themselves there. I don't think they really want to, you know, sit around and have half of what their neighbor doesn't have so that everybody has the same amount and we can all, you know, raise $3 for Bernie. I mean, I just think that,
right.
I think at the end of the day, that's a tough sell. Although I did see a Cadillac yesterday with Feel the Burn on the back, and I'm like, could that just be confusing? And then I looked down, and on the bumper, that was actually on the trunk. Now, see, if I have a Cadillac, I'm definitely putting a bumper sticker right on the paint. for starters. But then, like, down on the bumper, it was, you know, Burning 2016. I'm like, okay, so I guess that was the Feel the Burn. I thought maybe they were Forest Service employees or something. I don't know.
Limiting liberals.
Yeah, you just never know. I need to take one more quick
constant
break.
Constant state of confusion.
I know. It's constant state of what the heck happened? How did this happen? We'll be right back.
I love being on with you guys. Thank you so much.
Yeah, because we're goof-offs. Is that it? Is that the allure?
Well, I mean, you know.
I know. We could be all serious and everything, but it's so hard. We'll be right back and finish out the top of the hour with Mario Lopez, who is the president of the Hispanic Leadership Fund. It's an advocacy organization dedicated to promoting limited government, individual liberty, and free enterprise.
God, where have I heard that before?
Oh, good stuff.
Huh.
Be right back.
People.
Cause we can't see eye to eye. There ain't no good guys. There ain't no bad guys. There's only you and me, and we just disagree.
That should be like the theme song right now. It's like our whole country's theme song. Good one. So you're rejoining We the People Radio. You can find all of our information online, wethepeopleradio.us. And, all right, Mario, we have like a million questions here. Of course, we've waited till the last five minutes. We're bad. So we have someone in the chat room wanted to know, when you talk about the Hispanic vote, when you use that term, is that like first generation, second generation? Is that just everyone whose nationality, tracks that way? What does that mean to you?
Sure. I mean, well, we want to reach anyone who self-identifies as Hispanic. And so that could be, that could be a recent immigrant. That could be a first-generation American. It could be someone whose family has been here for a couple hundred years.
Hmm.
It really varies. But really it's self-identification, I think, is the easiest way to do that, because it's just, you know, if you see yourself as Hispanic or Latino, then of course, you know, we want to make sure that you're being spoken to, that the principles that you and I and the three of us here talking share are communicated to those folks.
Now, where does immigration fit in on this whole thing? Does it just throw a monkey wrench into the whole deal?
Wow. Well, we've spent a long time today talking about the First Amendment thing, and we can spend 10 times as long.
I know. I know. Sorry.
That's why we didn't mention it.
I just wondered, you know, does that, is it just better not to go there? Does that just derail?
Well, I mean, it is a tricky subject. I think that, a lot of people are tripped up by this. I think that, you know, from a policy level, I'll stick to this because I think it's an important basic thing for folks to understand is, one, I mean, obviously we have to have border security. I mean, that's just a no-brainer, okay? But if we want to actually solve this problem so that we're not talking about the illegal immigration problem in 5 years and 10 years and, you know, if we want to solve this once and for all, what really we need to do is A, you know, border security, and B, fixing the legal immigration process. I think that those two things go hand in hand, because what a lot of folks don't understand is just how incredibly difficult and cumbersome it is to immigrate legally to the United States.
Right.
And I think that those are the things, and we've seen this before, actually. I mentioned about the lessons of history before. We had a guest worker program in the early 1960s. It was called the Bracero Program. And a lot of folks actually moved to California, there in the Central Valley and other, you know, agriculture-heavy areas, because of the Bracero program. And so what happened was, one of the many interesting things that happened is that illegal apprehensions at the border dropped 90% because people had a way to avail themselves of, they had a legal, workable legal channel to come to the United States. And so when you have those, that it's workable, again, I don't think that we can necessarily replicate the Bracero program from top to bottom or anything like that, but just in terms of the power of this example is that when you have something like that that's workable, then you have a lot less illegal crossings. And the benefit in a modern day environment is that now your resources that you have on the border can focus on the really, really bad guys, the guys who
sure.
are smuggling
or criminals
or sexual trafficking, the people who are bringing drugs and weapons and God knows what else across the border. Then, you know, you have a lot more resources that are focused on those guys who everyone, you know, understands is just, you know, bad. There's just no way around it, right? Those are just bad people. Then you have other people who, yes, they've broken the law, but their motivations aren't to, like, come break the law and spit on America and do all these things. Their
right.
motivation is they want a better life. And, you know, we don't encourage anyone to break the law in pursuit of that better life. That's not what we want to see. But certainly we as a country can say, hey, you know, let's have a way, you know, to sort of keep the secret sauce that has made America so great, which is people come here from around the world and they're motivated to succeed, right? And so when we can channel that towards in a sort of a positive, constructive way, I think that that's when we as a country benefit.
Well, I think we've just been chock full of information. I think everyone's going to have to go home and take a nap now. We've learned
don't
all sorts.
To wake up.
We've learned all sorts
too
of stuff
going on.
Mario, we really appreciate your time today, and we celebrate with you the First Amendment victory against Kamala Harris.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any victory
good
against
job.
Kamala Harris is a good one. She's a dope.
There we go. Thank you guys so much. Really enjoyed the time with you.
It goes fast because we goof off a little bit. So that we've been interviewing Mario Lopez. Actually, he's just been telling us stuff. Not really interviewing him all that much. He is the president of the Hispanic Leadership Fund. You can find all that information and a bunch more stuff at wethepeopleradio.us. Thanks, Mario. Thanks, guys. See you next week.